Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How can I save my little boy from Oppenheimer's deadly toy? There is no monopoly of common sense on either side of the political fence. We share the same biology.
Hey, Steve Balton, you're here on My Turning Point, where this week Sage Bava and I have a really special episode for you. I know I say that a lot, but how often do you get to talk to two of the biggest artists in the world, in Sting and Shaggy, talking about their upcoming festival in Philadelphia, their friendship, and much more? So this one was a blast. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
So it's a pleasure to talk to both of you. Shaggy, you and I have spoken in the past as well. And all right, man, because I used to live in Philly, so I'm going to start with a very obvious question. Even though I hate to usually start with the obvious, why Philly?
Well, why Philly there, Earl?
I think both of us, Shaggy and myself, are very, very strong support there. Whenever we play there separately, we always sell out. So it just seemed a good bet that we could do it in Philly successfully. It's also a great music town. Why not?
It is. All right. So wait, for both of you, then I'm going to put you on the spot. I mean, there's so many great legendary artists to come out of Philly. If you guys were to do one song from a Philly artist to cover as your all-star finale, what is it and why?
That's a tough question. Okay. Hall & Oates. I won't go for that. I like that song.
Interesting one. Okay. Shaggy.
That'd be a good one though. I could do probably something from the Roots. One of my favorite actually was, I forgot the title of the song. If it was an Erykah Badu record, I think.
Okay.
From that point,
things fall apart.
Yeah, that's the name of it. Yeah, that's a joint. That's one of my favorite joints. Yeah.
All good. All right. So for you guys, when you're putting this festival together, all right, wait. I'm usurping both of you. I got to go to the Spinners, and I'll Be Around, because that's one of my top 20 songs of all time.
All
right.
But in fairness, I had to Google Philly soul artists because, you know, there's so many. I couldn't think of it off the top of my head.
Then you put us on the spot. We're like, oh, yeah, by the way, which one?
It's all right. I mean, you know, you can always change your answers, too. But those were both very good answers.
Yeah, but just so you know, we didn't have Google
it. What are you looking for in the artists that you bring together?
Say again?
What are you looking for in the artists that you were bringing on to the festival?
Well, I think Sting and I have, we have very eclectic tastes within music, but we don't like to put anything. And I'm speaking for him here also, and correct me if I'm wrong there, Earl. We don't like listen music in or put music into a box, you know, and categories. You know, I think music basically just you listen it based on mood. And a vibe that you have, and we listen to every style of music, different artists, you know. And I think there's so many artists that you know that have really, really cool music, but not might not be your mainstream type of an artist or you know, and they come from so many different cultures. If you look at the lineup that we did, you know, you got people like Kes, you know, which is Soca, you know, it's a huge Soca artist from within that Caribbean, Calypso Soca realm. And, you know, and, you know, you have somebody like a Koffi, which is a new version of dancehall. Her style of music is just so, you know, it's positive, and she brings that whole energy to it, you know, and these are artists that, you know, I think Jordiana was also, is it the Italian or she's French? Sting.
I think it was
Sting.
Did French.
She's French, right? Sting. Yeah. Sting did you did a record with her, right?
I did. She's lovely. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's really kind of putting these artists all in one arena, and Sting and I will just go back and forth from stage to stage and introduce them and be a part of it and do songs with them and all of that. So it's really, really cool.
I mean, Koffi's interesting because she pipped us at the Grammys. So just the show, we have no hard feelings.
Yes, she did.
I mean, for you guys, and then I'm going to let Sage jump in because, you know, she brings the artist perspective and has, you know, a lot to ask. But I'm very curious. I mean, because I talk about this with people all the time. I still get such a thrill out of music discovery. And for you guys, being around doing an event like this where you get to bring new artists on, or younger artists, how much does that invigorate both of you?
Well, you know, we take our role as curators very, very seriously. And as Shaggy said, we'll be on stage most of the time introducing these acts and then grooving on them when they're playing. And I just love the eclecticism. I think it was important that we have a Philadelphia act, you know, G-Love and Special Source, a great band from Philly. And we have a band from Spain, from Mexico, Italy. You know, it's the city of brotherly love. And, you know, we are an integrated group here. And that's the message we want to give out.
Cool. Sage, you want to jump in?
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to ask about your process as now curators. Like the tool of improvisation is integral in so many different ways. And now as collaborators in curating a festival, I'm curious how that's lighted some facets of your relationship, perhaps that you didn't see before or has just continued.
You know, for me, the most important element in any music is the element of surprise. Did you say that?
Oh, I did. Yes, we said that.
If I hear four bars of music, I want to be surprised by the fifth bar. Otherwise, I'll stop listening. So the music we choose to play, the music we choose to listen to, the music we choose to curate is about surprise. I want people to walk away going, wow, that was surprising. Otherwise, it's not worth it. So when, you know, Shaggy and I got together, that was a surprise to both of us. It was a surprise to the world. People said, Sting and Shaggy, what the hell is that? But it was a pleasant surprise because it worked. And yeah. So, it, you know, we still have a beautiful friendship. And this is just a further extension of that surprising combination. And long may it continue.
I think we're just allergic to boredom, him and I. You know, and we look for things to excite us. You know, and some in some cases, I would think certainly for me, it might be a little bit selfish because I do it to really please myself. I always say when I make a record, I never sit down and analyze any particular or cultivate any particular record for any particular audience. I really do it for me, you know, because, you know, you could take, for instance, It Wasn't Me or Mr. Bombastic. I'm going to live with that song a lot more than you are, you know, because I'm going to have to play it every single day, you know, when I tour and everything. So I'd like to do something I like. And hopefully I do it a bit selfishly that I like it and then hope that it really connects with an audience. And for the most part, because my finger is on the pulse of culture, for the most part, it normally connects, you know, and I've had a good success rate, you know, but it's really done just kind of selfishly to my own taste. And I think what we do here is, you know, we pick in these artists, but it's really boils down to us sitting down and doing them based on just her or vibe and her taste and what we like, and, you know, and hope that everybody would connect with it.
Mm. I mean, I'm driven more by curiosity than anything else. I'm curious about the future of music, where it's headed, how it reflects society, and how society can maybe be changed by music somehow. I think it's a slow process, but music can alter people's perception. It's the politics, information. So I think music has a place there. So I'm curious. And I'm curious to see how this One Fine Day thing works. You know, I'm going to be watching very, very carefully with the hope that we'll have another fine day following
you. Yeah.
Even more curious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd love to ask you that question. I know it's a big one, but the future of music, what does Sting and Shaggy think about that? And
yeah, if we knew, then it wouldn't be a surprise, you know. But I think we need to take part in it. Even though Shaggy and I are well established in our careers, we still feel we have something to offer. And if we don't have anything to offer, we should just shut up. There's so much noise in the world. I don't want to add to it. You know, I want to add something that's cogent, that's coherent and useful. And yeah. No, Shaggy feels the same.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you there, you know, but there's also what I love is that sense of joy. You know, I've toured with Sting and I've you know, done tours by myself. And there's one thing we do have in common is there are smiles that are on people's faces when we're doing these things, when we're performing these tracks and touring. And it's that joy that you bring. And that's what we kind of want to bring. Yeah, you know, there's a strong message there, but they also have to be that energy, that joy, you know.
You know, what happens on stage is that I will start a song, one of my songs, and then suddenly Shaggy at any given moment will walk on and mess it up. And I have to improvise. I have to figure out how, you know, how I'm going to deal with this spontaneous bomb that just landed. So that's always...
Just so you know, it's vice versa, right? Because yeah. He does the same on mine. And that's the element of surprise.
Just helping out. Come on.
All right, wait. Now I have two questions for you guys. One for each of you guys. Wait, what's the one song of each of yours that the other fucks up the most?
Whew. Well, let's talk about It Wasn't Me. We performed it in a church. And I noticed before we performed the song that the priest was in the audience.
Yeah.
So I had to explain to the priest that this was a morality tale we were, you know, about to tell. And of course, it is a morality tale. And so that, you know, we neither of us were excommunicated or thrown out of the church, but it went very well. But I played the straight guy in that song.
Yeah, yeah. You were the good guy. All right, boss. I remember that. That was actually in Germany, right? Sting, it was very funny that day, by the way, because to see the priest there, and I'm like, we're contemplating whether we should actually sing this song or not. But the whole audience in the church was just so into it and singing every line to it, and it's great, you know.
Now, I want to go back here for a second, Sting, to something you said about music, when we're talking about music in the future and how it can change the world. For each of you, what was the one song that most makes you feel like you can change the world?
You know, I don't think we can change the world overnight with a song. I think you can plant a seed in people's heads.
Yeah, for the conversation, yeah.
You're playing to an audience of people. Some of those people will be in the political class one day. They'll have power. If you plant a seed in their minds young about human rights or about the climate, or for example, you know, the film Oppenheimer, the director cites the first time he heard the name Oppenheimer was in one of my songs, in the Russian song. So he's saying, okay, when I was 15 years old, I heard Sting's song. It made me curious about what this is, and I found out about the history of the atomic bomb, and then, you know, made a big movie many years later. Probably get an Oscar, and I will take some credit for that, okay?
Yeah. Mine isn't that deep. It's, you know. Well, I mean, it wasn't me. It probably just have little, you know, a young boy saying, well, I might need condoms. That's it. You know? I think it's that deep.
They do.
No, but it's interesting from a fan perspective. Like for me, right? Well, like Sting, you obviously, I saw you, God, now I'm dating both of us, but on the Amnesty tours in the 80s with Peter Gabriel. And I mean, Biko is a song that actually did change the world. And I think of a song like Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Every time I watch that song, I come out feeling like you have that power. So for each of you as a fan, is there that song that uplifts you? Or do you remember being kids, that first song, you know, Sting, was there a first song for you that had the same impact that your song Russians had on Christopher Nolan?
You know, I'd probably cite the entire Dylan catalog from the 60s as being influential in my particular life. The idea of freedom and change and being anti-war, something that was very, very important to me still.
You know, for me, it was a lot of the early reggae, you know, like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Natty Dreadlocks by Black Uhuru. Mm-hmm. Because in Jamaica, there was a lot of discrimination against the Rastafarians. You know, a lot of my uncles at the time were Rastafarians and faced a lot of discrimination in those early days. We were talking like in the 70s and even early part of the 80s. I thought that was a very strong message coming from them, you know. You know, songs like Dennis Brown, Revolution, was also one of those records that really connected, you know, because at that point, you know, you stand for something or you fall for anything, you know. One of the most brilliant songs for me that really connects also is War by Bob Marley. Which is a speech of Haile Selassie actually translated into melodies. And those things, you know, those songs are very inspirational songs to me and really, really connect.
Get Up, Stand Up.
Yeah, another one, yeah.
I mean, the funny thing is, Sting, you say the whole Dylan catalog, but you could also go through the whole Bob Marley catalog as well.
You could. Yeah, he's a tremendous Dylan.
I always go for Redemption Song. Wait, didn't you guys actually on the Amnesty tour? I feel like Redemption Song was the song that closed out some of them, or maybe it was Get Up, Stand Up. I can't remember now. But yeah, all right, cool. Well, Sage, I want to let you go in 1 second, but just for you guys, let's also go back now to having some fun with this. Wait, I got to ask you, Philly has a lot of famous food. What's the main food at the festival? Because you can't have a festival these days without the food.
Cheesecake, right?
No. cheesesteak. Philly cheesesteak. Yeah. Have you had one? You haven't had one, Sting, right? Have you had a Philly cheesesteak?
Well, yeah, I lived in Philly, so of course.
No, I'm asking Sting.
But yeah.
I'm asking Sting if have you ever had a Philly cheesesteak?
Of course I've had a Philly cheesesteak.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm older than you. I've done everything.
Okay. Yeah. It's so amazing where culture is concerned, because, like, you know, I remember being in England with Sting, and he was eating, you were eating those, what was that sausage? The brown sauce and the sausage. And I was like, I'm sitting there looking at him, and I was like, and I just realized it was such a cultural thing, because, you know, that they put brown sauce on everything over there in England.
Well, it tastes so horrible otherwise.
Does it?
Brown sauce on cornflakes.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's everything. But yeah, you know, we're really excited about it, and just the whole Philly experience, and this one fine day and just kind of, and it seems to me why I'm so really pumped about it is just, I just think we're going to have a whole lot of damn fun, you know? And I'm really, really looking forward. I think everybody should come and share it with the fun.
Beyond the music and the food, what were the core important message or vibe that you put your heads together and said, this is what this is about?
You know, I just think it's a given what the vibe is with Shaggy and I. You know, we're great friends. We love each other. And what comes out of that relationship is what you hear. We want people to join us with that camaraderie, that feeling of brotherhood, sisterhood as well. But, you know, we're one big happy family. That's the intention.
Yeah. Yeah. Just if you ever been to a Sting and Shaggy show and seen us perform together, and we did it throughout a tour, you feel that togetherness, you know, and yeah, we're from two different worlds, but we're not so far different as you might think, you know. And like Sting said, on paper it might look really weird, but when you're there, it's like boom, and that should transcend in that joy that we bring to people, and. You know, I think that's what it really all about.
Surprise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I know I got to wrap up in a second, so we'll each ask one more. But I'm curious for you guys, you know, both being solo artists for so many years, how much fun is it when you find someone that you can have that level of camaraderie with? And, you know, basically music can be, as a solo artist, can be a very isolating thing. So for you guys, talk about the joy you have in this friendship and being able to do this stuff together and being able to bounce off each other and obviously give each other a lot of shit, which is an important element in every friendship.
Well, you know, it's cutting the workload in half for a start, but also making that 50% more valuable, because you have to be on your feet to cope with something completely different. It's actually putting ourselves out of our comfort zone, both of us.
Yeah.
And that always has benefits. So it's always worth taking a risk. But the actual physical work is halved. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I miss you, Shaggy, when I'm on my own. I really do.
Likewise. You know, just like the other day when we reunited the other day, it was, think about that stage when we were in St. Lucia. It that night we were just doing whatever the hell we wanted, and the crowd just ate it up, you know? And when I remember ending that show and kept saying to myself, wow, this is just magic every single time, you know? And it didn't take a lot of us we didn't rehearse very much. We just kind of put it together, but it worked like a charm. And that just come with just camaraderie and a genuine friendship. You know, I always say Sting is the brother I didn't know I needed, you know, and he's brought so much to me within my confidence. And you know, I've always been a fan of his music, but to think that he was a fan of me and what I've done, you know, really, really adds, you know, to me and what I do and my creativity, you know. And you know, it is something that we always, I think we both cherish it, you know, and we're always excited to do something together, you know, and probably we sit down over a glass of wine or some gin and tonic or something like that. And then there's this crazy idea come up, and then you see Martin on his phone trying to make it happen. So it works, you know.
Wait, now I have to ask before Stage asks the last question. Do you get different ideas from the wine and from the gin and tonic, and which one creates the better ideas?
It depends on what kind of wine, right?
My wine is full of ideas.
Yeah, I know that was coming.
Full of ideas.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, we only get the ideas when we're drinking Sting wine. Just FYI.
That's not true. We came up with the idea of Shaggy singing Sinatra, drinking Red Stripe in...
Yes, on the fjords.
In Norway. Yeah,
in Norway.
Wow, you must have the most amazing stories. I would love to hear a story. Probably wine may have been involved, about when one of your favorite stories of of a song being messed up, being ruined, being when you perform together by the other?
Well, it happens that it just about every song, but then you readjust. You know, someone's on the end of the boat, and if the boat rocks that way, you have to go the other way. It's navigation, and that's so exciting. And again, it's all about surprise. You know, he's a very, very spontaneous freestyler. It's something I envy in him because, you know, my work is very kind of meticulous and planned. And he can just walk out there and just freestyle and improvise. I envy that. I admire it. But it's fantastic to have that as part of my show too now. So it does stimulate me to perform differently. And so you never really know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I should be nervous, but yeah. I'm not.
You know, it's like reading a room. You know, I built my show like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with sound systems in Jamaica, where they would have what is known as selectors, you know, and what you guys would call a DJ here to play a record. And if a DJ is going to play a record, you know, he's playing a record based on that crowd, and it's reading that crowd and kind of adjusting as you go along to what that audience is. And I think what is so cool is that we'll put a set list and do it, but there's things that we're doing in between these songs that really kind of tailor to that audience that night, you know, and we'll come off there and say, wow, that was great. And this thing was like, we just do that again, you know, and that's just wonderful. You know what I mean? And we'll both just play off each other and come with something that really connects. And it just always does. It's just magic. It always happens.
Awesome. I'm gonna sneak in one more because Sting, I love what you said earlier when we were talking about the cheesecake and cheesesteak. And you said, I'm older than you. I've done everything. But I remember interviewing B.B. King at the age of 71, and he had just taken up clarinet. And I asked him why he took it up. And he said, because every day you don't learn something new is a day wasted. So there's always something more to do. So what's on the Sting bucket list that you haven't done yet? That what you say you've done everything. There's always something.
Like BB, I'm a student of music, and I will be till the day I die. I'm learning every day, and learning something every day. I read music. I read classical music because it teaches me a great deal. I listen. So no, I'm studying music even though I'm 71. You have to.
Cool, Shaggy. What about you? What's the one thing that you still want to do?
You know, where music is concerned, man, it's ever changing. You know, there's so much new music now that's coming out. And my thing is to connect. I listen a lot of it. I try to keep my finger on the pulse of what is going on. I surround myself with a lot of young people. Even in my studio when I'm creating, and I create for all the people also, and continue to put records out. I do collaboration with a lot of new artists and younger artists because I get to feel their energy and feel what there it is. You know, you could be like, so do re mi fa sol la ti do, we're not inventing the wheel here. You know what I mean? But there is different ways and different times and culture that really makes the difference when people create these records. And I like to be a part of it. So I like to be in the mix of it.
That's what I was asking earlier about the music discovery. Cool. Well, thank you guys both so much for your time. Is there anything that you guys want to add we did not ask you about?
Well, let's see you there on the 9th and we'll talk more.
Yeah, indeed.
Cool.
Super lovely to chat with you.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Cool. All right. We'll see you later. Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Steve Balton. You've been listening to My Turning Point with co-host Sage Bava and special guests Sting and Shaggy. Thanks.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.